We can fellowship after the service. And Memorial Day is always special for us because my wife 1 year decided to turn Memorial Day into Labor Day. And Jed was born on Memorial Day. And so maybe Nicole will do the same thing, except she'll double it with twins. No, we want today. The weekend is close enough. And today is Memorial Day, and today is the weekend, that's right, tomorrow, thank you, that is very good. So this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. We have people traveling. We know that Sage and her family were running in a half marathon in Traverse City, right? Is that right? Yeah, so people like to do that. If you think 13.1 miles is fun to run, that's fun. And it's a good day for families to meet together and travel and things like that. But really, what is it for? It's to remember how our freedoms came and how they're defended, and it comes at a high cost. And so freedom, as we've heard, is not free. It's precious. We don't want to waste it. We do want to honor those who have given their lives to protect this country. We have national and civic and political freedom because of this kind of thing. Self-governance allows citizens to have the maximum amount of freedom. I'm reminded of a book that I read, small book. It was written by an immigrant. He came here as a college student from another country. He was actually a Christian minority in a largely non-Christian country. And he went to Stanford. And he said, this is the strangest thing. All the immigrants I know love America, and yet so many people in the university are complaining about America. And he thought, that is really strange. And so he kept that in the back of his mind, and he would talk to people, and eventually he wrote a book about it, What's So Great About America? And this is what he came up with. He said, from talking to people, he said, immigrants compare America to what they've experienced, and they just say it's better. They don't say it's perfect because they know it's not. They just say it's better. Now, you could say that's anecdotal, and it is, but people from millions of people from different countries and different social and economic levels, they just say it's better. He said, well, then why are the Americans that he meets so down on America? And he said, the people that he met, especially in the universities, compare America to a theory, a utopian theory, and of course, America always comes short of that. And so there'll be a wide range of opinions about America. Some people think America is the cause of all the world's problems. Some think America is the cure. We know it's not either of those, because the people are people. All of us are children of Adam. And because of that, we need a Savior. There are some questions in the bulletin. If you look at that, you can answer them as you go through the message or through the week. And one of the questions is, do you enjoy the freedoms we have in America? Which ones and why? Do other people in other nations want to have the same freedoms? What price would people pay to get such freedom? Can we lose these freedoms? And how are these kind of freedoms maintained? Are there freedoms that you do not value? And then the next one, moving up to a different level, who paid for your spiritual freedom, your spiritual liberty? What price did he pay? How do we use our spiritual liberty in a way that honors him? Did God create all people equal? Do they need spiritual liberty as much as we do? And how can they be set free spiritually, and what is our unfinished task? So, freedom's not free. It comes at a high price, and that's both political freedom and especially spiritual freedom. We need to thank the ones who paid the price. We need to respect that price and use the freedom properly, respectfully. Anybody know what this is? Well, I wrote it on there, what it is. Okay, you know what it is. Anybody been there? Anybody seen that? Okay. What state is Gettysburg in? This is a geography test. Okay, you're right. And what war was this about? Civil War. Memorial Day started 3 years after the Civil War. It was called Declaration Day. But we remember all the wars. And this, of course, is a bust of Abraham Lincoln. And on the brass plaques there, guess what's written down? The Gettysburg Address. Anybody have to read that when you were in school? Really? Did you have to memorize it? Anybody have to memorize it? We're going to give you a test for that now. Who can say it? 40 and... Well, very good. What score, though? What's the contest? Yeah, what score? 20 years. Boy, you guys know your old English. Very good. So 87 years ago. But let's read this together. This is actually a national piece. It's very important. And we're going to use this as a way to talk about spiritual liberty. Okay, let's read it together. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Yeah, that was something that I had to memorize in school. I don't think at the time I understood all those words. What's hallow? Holy, very good. What's another thing we commonly use that word in? Halloween, yeah. That's true. Halloween. Halloween means All Hallows' Eve, right? It's All Saints' Day, and the evening before is All Hallows' Eve. What about the Lord's Prayer? We say hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. It's Old English for holy or sanctified. Good. He says that the world will little note nor long remember what we say here. Actually, it's one of the most memorized passages in American history. There's a legend that he wrote it while he was on the train, or he rewrote it, and it was real bumpy. It's not true. There's 5 copies of it that are still around. 2 of them were sent out before he gave the message, and you can tell that it was written on a surface, and he was very careful with his writing. He practiced and planned what he was going to say. And then this one that's on the monument is one that was given to General Bliss, and so it's called the Bliss copy. And because he said, can I have a copy of that and we'll use it to encourage the troops. And so he rewrote that for him. And so there's some slight differences. And then also the newspapers printed it, and there's a wide variety of how it came out in the newspaper with some differences there. But a very important document. We want to look at this and use this as an analogy to spiritual freedom. I would like to say this. America is unique in the history of the world. It's dedicated to human freedom as humanity is defined by the Bible. Many countries and many constitutions do not take into account what they did with the Constitution. They said men are created in God's image. So men are not just elevated animals. They're actually created in God's image. And they have worth because of that. But also men are all fallen. We've all fallen in Adam. And so men are sinful. And because of this, and man has the capacity to be redeemed. Many are not redeemed, but they can be redeemed. But redeemed meaning they have high value in God's eyes, so he sent his son to die for them, that they could be redeemed. But they said, people are fallen, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And therefore, they divided the power into three branches of government between the executive and the judicial and the legislative. And they said, we don't want power to be concentrated in one hand. We want it to be in many hands and people to be keeping each other in check because of this tendency to fallenness and corruption. And world history shows that, yes, governments tend towards corruption. And if America falls, I don't know when we'll ever see another one like America that has allowed for human freedom as much as America. But freedom can be taken by an enemy, or it can be lost from within. And the way it can be lost from within is by abusing the freedoms. And the Bible has something to talk about that, where we become selfish in the use of freedom. I like the song that we sang. It says, only in his will am I free. We're free to live in the will of God. That's where freedom is. Outside of the will of God, it's sold as freedom, but it's not freedom. It's actually bondage. C.S. Lewis said that you've never met a mere mortal. The people that you spend all your days with are eternal. And if you could see them in 1,000 years, they'd either be like an angel you'd want to fall down and worship, or a horror that you would be repelled from because of they're either becoming more like God or more like Satan. And he said, nations and all human institutions are temporal. They all fall. All these civilizations have fallen. It's the individuals who are eternal. And so America is temporal. It's gonna end whenever that is. But it's the people, the individuals, who are eternal, and that is through Christ that that's possible. Remember, we've mentioned this the last few weeks. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you'll be my disciples in truth. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. The Jews argued, we're not in bondage. What are you talking about? At the time, they were actually in bondage to the Roman Empire. But he said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And how many people is that in the earth? Well, yeah, that's a lot. The percentage is really high. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So all people have sinned, all are slaves to sin, and yet in Christ all can be set free, everyone who comes to Christ. And so if all people are created equal and all are slaves to sin, how many need to be set free? All of them. And there's only one way to do that. We want to honor the soldiers who gave their lives for our freedom. And we want to use the freedom well that we have in America. But there's a greater freedom. And what's the price? Remember from last week, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you're the temple of, don't you know that your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And as we want to honor those people that gave us freedom in America, we want to honor Christ who gave us spiritual freedom. Paul says in Galatians, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Don't lose your freedom. And he's talking about freedom in Christ. Don't lose it to legalism, to a yoke of slavery, to religious slavery, or any other kind of slavery. He says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you are a free man, remember you're the Lord's servant, the Lord's slave. And if you're a slave, don't let it bother you, because in Christ you are free. But if you can get your freedom, do so. If you're able to get your political and economic freedom, do so. But don't use your freedom for yourself. What does he say? He says you are called for freedom, Galatians 5:13. You are called to freedom, to liberty, brethren, but don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Don't indulge yourself, but rather in love serve one another. Abraham Lincoln said, we are now engaged in a great civil war. And it was. Originally, they thought 500,000 men died. Later, they said, no, more like 750,000. Because at that medicine at that time, almost all the wounded died. Very few survived. Now, medicine is such that people are surviving incredibly terrible wounds because of the medical advances. But we are engaged in a great spiritual war for the hearts and souls of men. And we have an enemy. Satan, that's from the Hebrew, means the opponent or the adversary. And it can mean the opponent who's taken you to court and is accusing you before the judge. And either you have to pay him money or you have to go to jail or you lose your life. But he's the enemy. That's Satan. He's our opponent. He's our enemy. He's called, in the Bible, he's called the deceiver. He's a liar. He's the tempter. He says, oh, this is no big deal. You can do this. You can get away with this. No one will know. And then as soon as you do it, what? What have you done? You're terrible. You better hide from God. You'll never be forgiven. How can you be a Christian and act like that? And he's the accuser. But he doesn't always accuse accurately. He's also the slanderer. The Greek word diabolos means the one who's throwing slander at someone. And that's the word, where we get the word devil. He's a thief. The Lord said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I, the good shepherd, have come that they might have life and have it to the full. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's the evil one. And he's the devil. Out of Revelation, John tells us this in the vision that he saw. There was a great dragon. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceives how much? The whole world. The devil deceives the whole world. And he's thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown with him. And what do we call these angels? Demons, fallen angels. And they didn't fall from heaven, and so it means a vertical drop. It means they fell into sin, and they fell from glory, and they fell from the presence of God. And then he goes on to say in Revelation 12, he said, I heard a loud voice saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And so the devil has been accusing the believers day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their life even when they were faced with death. And so how did they overcome him? Through the gospel, the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, and their testimony of faith in the Lamb, and the fact that they held this testimony even in the face of death. This is how they overcame him. Jesus said to the religious hypocrites in John 8, he said, you can't hear me because you're not from my Father. You're from your father, the devil, and it's his desires that you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth. There's no truth in him. He's When he lies, he speaks from his own nature. He's the liar and the father of lies. In Ephesians, Paul tells us this. He said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He's talking about us. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. So that's who we were. We were with them. Among them, we too all formerly walked in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So, the world is in the same position that we were in. Aren't you happy that you've been rescued by Christ? Can you do this by yourself? No, Christ did it. But how did it happen? You put your faith in what Christ has done. That meant somebody told you that story. You had to hear that. And someone had to witness to you and tell you the story of Christ. And so these people are in the same condition that we're in. And if there's equality, then we need to share this story with them. What Lincoln talked about in his very opening paragraph of his message is that this nation was built upon the idea of liberty, and liberty meant we had to treat everyone equally. And we weren't doing that with slavery. And so that's why this great war took place. Well, we say God loves the world. He sent his son so that no one would perish, but they would have everlasting life. So we have to tell people the message even as we've heard the message. Lincoln went on to say, a new nation conceived in liberty. Oh, I just told you that. Okay. In Luke 24, the end of Christ is giving his parting commands to them, and he says, remember what was written in the scripture, that Christ would have to suffer, rise again on the third day, repentance and forgiveness would be preached in his name to the world, all the nations, starting here in Jerusalem. And he said, you are my witnesses. You need to tell people this. John says, we know we're of God, and the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. He is in control. And the only way we break control is through the gospel. There's a war going on. There's prisoners of war that God wants us to set free. People who've been captive by this evil regime. And he wants us to set them free. And we need to do that. It says, Lincoln said, we highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. I think that's good to honor people's memory, but how much more to honor Christ? And look what Paul says. Who's going to condemn you? If Christ died for you, who's going to condemn you? By the way, he's not dead. He's alive. And he's at the right hand of God interceding. So the person who died for you is even alive, and he's your defense attorney. Defending all these accusations. And so to honor the death of Christ, he didn't die in vain. We need to tell people the message of Christ so they can hear it and believe. For since by man came death, also by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. On those gravestones, they have crosses. And because of hope of the resurrection and what Christ has done. He died for all, that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In 2 Corinthians 5, he goes on to say, God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, had no sin in his life, to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lincoln said, it is for us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they fought here, so thus far have so nobly advanced. It's rather for us to be dedicated to the great task before us, remaining before us. They had to finish the war. Our war is not finished. How do you do war, this kind of war? We do it through the advance of the gospel. We do it by making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What are the two verses just before that? We're familiar with those two. It says, they met him on the mountain, and they worshiped him, and some doubted. Some were doubting, even at that point. And he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore go and make disciples. We need to be firm in our belief that Christ is in control, and we share the throne with him. Now we are seated with him in the throne. Look at this. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So who is in the fortress and is being sieged from the outside? Who's under attack? Is the church under attack, or is the church on the offense? Who's on the defense? Who's trying to hold out? And whose gates are being stormed? We are storming the gates of Hades and setting people free, setting them free from death through the gospel. Lincoln said, this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. He was talking to people who read their Bibles often. This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. And if the nation is no longer under God, it's going to lose its freedoms even if no one takes them away. Why? Because self-government is based upon self-control. And self-control is based upon what? Spirit control. The fruits of the Spirit, what's the last fruit? Number 9. Self-control. And the framers of the Constitution knew that people needed to be under control, and without morality, democracy would fall. And maybe it will. We see it. I think we should pray for revival, but like we said, all human institutions are temporal. It's the individuals who are eternal, and they need the gospel. The Lord said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, make this group of my disciples holy. Sanctify them. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The way we fight the kingdom of darkness is with light. The way we fight the liar is with truth. And we need it in our lives. So that's why we said last week and the week before, all truth is God's truth. There's only one reality, the one that God has made. All the lies are the devil's lies. He's the father of lies. We need to set people free by giving them the truth. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. I am free, and even though I'm free, and no one owns me, I enslave myself to everyone. I use my freedom not for myself to indulge myself. I use my freedom to spread the message of Christ, to win as many as possible. Remember we said more fruit of the Spirit produces more fruit of the gospel. And what's B-A-D-W-R? Be a disciple worth reproducing, one who's growing in Christ. That's what we want to be. And as we ask about freedom in Christ, and Paul said, everything's lawful, but not everything is beneficial. Everything's lawful for me, but not everything builds up. Everything's lawful for me, but I won't come under the control of anything. And so we need to ask ourselves, does it build? Does it benefit? Does it bind? Because in Christ, we're to use our freedom, to use it honorably. We use it for the purpose that he set us free, and that is to be his witnesses in the world. And so Lincoln was saying, let's dedicate ourselves to finish the cause for which these people gave their lives. Well, Christ gave his life, and he's alive again. And many others listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and other places, they gave their lives. And guess what? They're also alive. They're just not alive on the earth. And so he's calling us, let us live our lives in a way, using the freedom that we have, not to do our will, but God's will, because it's only in his will that I really am free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the freedoms that we have in this country, and I know we often take them for granted, and there's lot of political arguments going on about what America is and should be and how it should change or not change. We would like to see a revival, a return to morality, and return to Christ here in this country. But we know that your kingdom will never fall, and that your church transcends all political borders and all times, and that it's the people who are eternal, the ones who will spend either eternity with you or away from you. And help us, Lord, to be effective and fruitful witnesses telling the gospel. We don't know who's going to receive the message and who isn't, but help us to be fruitful and faithful witnesses and see many people come to Christ and confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that he was raised from the dead and be joined to your church. Be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and learn with us how to keep all your commands as you're teaching us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand.